CBS News special report. A day short of the three-year mark, President Biden has just started speaking about the Capitol riots, the threat to democracy in George Washington near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania.
America made a vow. Never again would we bow down to a king. Months ahead would be incredibly difficult. But General Washington knew something in his bones, something about the spirit of the troops he was leading. Something about the soul of the nation.
Correspondent Major Garrett with more on Mr. Biden's themes.
Remember that day. Remember what led up to it. Remember what has happened since then. And remember that Trump has said if he's reelected, he'll pardon most, if not all, of those offenders on that day and essentially tell America for all times it was no big deal.
More than 1,200 people have been indicted, about half convicted in connection with the insurrection. CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he has no plans to change state government's diversity practices. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss plans to order a year-long audit of state agencies' diversity policies. The Democratic governor tells the State Journal that Voss is free to do that, but that no changes will be made. 41 Milwaukee public schools are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. It provides a better atmosphere for play and for learning.
Behavioral referrals go down, injuries go down, and kids are more productive in their play.
That's Lisa Neeb. She's with ReFlow, the nonprofit that's helping with the project. She says natural playgrounds also are more comfortable on hot days. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Hoosels at the Lakes is hosting a donation drive to collect items in support of the Dove's Nest and Alex C. Dove Foundation. They're collecting toilet paper, paper towel, dishwasher pods, liquid hand soap, and 13-gallon kitchen trash bags to help supply the retreat. Dove's Nest is a cabin on Lake Camelot in Nakusa where individuals and families fighting a life-threatening illness can rest and relax for up to a week away from the stresses caused by their condition. The Alex C. Dove Foundation was formed in 2019 in honor of Alex, who passed away that year from an aggressive cancer. You can help by donating the needed items at Hoosels at the Lakes on Alpine Drive. The City of Wisconsin Rapids will pick up Christmas trees January 22nd through the 26th. Trees need to be free of all decorations, including lights, tinsel, garland, etc. They will be used by the DNR for fish habitat improvement. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
The Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. You know, two of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL, Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields. And what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans of the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay is playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now, so I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and calm today. All ahead of a few shots of some snow headed our way. First chance pushes in later tonight as spotty snow showers that ramp up through the overnight hours and look to linger into tomorrow afternoon. A half an inch of snow is likely, with some areas seeing up to 2 inches. It's 35 degrees at our studios.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this January 5th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Dan Vollert with our Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. Talk a little bit about what's coming up with Dan and plenty more. Right now on the phone with us, we have our good friend, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott, good New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going. I mean, it's busier than it's ever been, but it's all right. That first week back after the holidays makes you feel like you've never been at work before and never had pressure before. It's pretty quick.
I want to start there with you, actually. Before we dive into that, though, how was your New Year's? How was your holiday marathon, your
gamut? Yeah, it's good. I mean, the bigger our family gets, the more there is to it. So it's nice to have, you know, this new experience with the grandkids and first Christmases and things like that again. So it was pretty cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Are you a resolution guy?
You know, I used to be, but you know, after the last few years, I just kind of figured I kind of achieved most of what my resolutions used to be. So now I just kind of go with the flow.
I've got a couple things I want to talk with you about: the RV dealer bill, the firefighter memorial funding bill, the Harvest for Hope, the Town of Rome solar project. I hope we have time to get to all of these things, but I bring them up because I'm kind of curious, and you touched on the start of the new year. There's a lot on the docket every year for you guys. What are some of your hopes, your plans for 2024?
Yeah, I think, you know, my biggest thing still is making sure that we don't have election confusion going into the election cycle. So that's my biggest thing right now. And I, you know, I do love all of these local bills I'm working on, and we'll touch on those. And I think, you know, those are always important to keep top of mind. But as the calendar hits 2024, the biggest thing that keeps pounding through my head is the election's coming, the election's coming, the election's coming. And I have said from the beginning of this session that there's no way in my mind that 2024 should be another 2020. So we're just trying do everything we can to find bipartisan agreement, compromise, get governor to sign bills to make some simple changes to our system to restore any lost confidence that anybody might have for whatever reason it may have been, just to make sure everybody's out to vote, make sure they trust the results when they come in election night, and just avoid all of the craziness that happened post-election in 2020.
It seems like the new normal is going to be this kind of outlier, this fraction of society that is going to fight on things no matter what you do. My papa used to say, you could come up with a cure for cancer, charge a dollar, and some people are going to say you're overcharging. You know, there's always that facet of society. I think that it's just gotten it's always been there. It's just gotten a chance to have a voice because of social media and some of these things. But you know, we were talking with Senator Teston last month, and this kind of came up, and one of the things that him and I think you and I have even touched on before, going forward, states like ours have an opportunity to really be an example to the union. We have so much, we're such a purple state, and it almost feels like nothing's going to get passed, nothing's going to get done unless it has bipartisan support. Do you think that that's going to really help with the kind of bringing this home and making sure that we feel that much more confident with our vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole reason that Lee Snodgrass, the ranking Democrat in my committee, have taken this new way forward and just said, hey, we're going to agree to disagree on some things, but what comes out of this committee to get them to the governor's desk is going to have our agreement. So let's figure out what works and what doesn't. And I, you know, I talked to some old timers from the Capitol days that, you know, in the 80s and 90s when this was the norm. And these guys are like, yeah, it's great to see you're doing this again. I mean, even Governor Thompson, when I talk to him when I get a chance, is like, yeah, this is how I governed. I didn't have the majorities when I was the governor, and the legislature was all Democrats, and I was Republican, and we still got it all done.
It's one of those things.
Going back.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the, it's a little like fashion. You know, you just wait a little while, it'll come back around kind of thing.
Exactly.
With confidence in elections, what is one of the bigger factors that you think that we have to get beyond, get over to be able to really bring that home?
I think, you know, all of the conspiracy theories and things like that are always going to be there. But at least in my mind, my understanding of how unique our election system is one of the challenges we also face, though, too, is most other states, they count their absentee ballots before Election Day, you know, and then can report results in time with the in-person vote. So there's nothing going on 2-3 in the morning, things like that, that could stir controversy in some people's minds. So as long as we pass the early processing of the absentee ballots bill, which would allow it to be done Monday, ahead of the Tuesday in-person vote, so all the results can be reported late night Tuesday instead of overnight into Wednesday, I think it's 90% of our problem is the perception that there's some ballots showing up in the middle of the night somewhere in Milwaukee. You know, all this perception of that drove all of this controversy nationwide. So it's just fixing that thing. I mean, it's a heavy political lift. We've got it through the state assembly, working on state senate right now and fighting the noisemakers who have come back out of the woodwork and started rattling cages again on the other side of it because they think they're losing on the issue, so they want to keep being able to yell and scream and fight instead of solve problems.
Yeah.
So I think that's where all the money has to be hung right now is, you know, making sure we're putting everything into getting ballots processed more timely.
Well, I'll say this, and I say it confidently to you, to Senator Tesson, because I've talked to you guys. I know you guys well enough to know you don't fall into this category. To the politician that does kind of lean on that, that does lean on, you know, hot takes and basically division and trying to separate people, our voting has shown in the last couple of election cycles that's not working. That those people are not getting reelected. That shelf life is done. I'm not saying that we're not still going to see some people, but overwhelmingly throughout the whole entire country, we are seeing more and more of that voice not getting reelected.
Right. Yeah, it is exactly what's going on. I mean, if you look through election results throughout the 2022 cycle, even past 2020, where, you know, you had Ron Johnson at the top of the ticket win on the same election as Tony Evers winning. I mean, Wisconsin voters are smart enough to know they're picking the best people for the job, and if they split their ticket, then they're going to split their ticket. I mean, there's the only way that I've ever won elections in the beginning was having ticket splitting going on where Democrats would vote for me and still vote for a Democrat U.S. Senator, a Democrat governor candidate, or a Democrat president candidate. So it's common sense candidates who do hard work, who report back to their constituents, who do the right thing. Those are the ones who get elected, and those are also the ones you should probably be listening to more instead of the keyboard warriors on Facebook who are in our own caucus. I'm not going to deny it, but just trying to fight through their noise and just get the right thing done at the right time for the right people.
There's always a fire, you know, from the very first politician voted into office, there's been a fire for them to get things done. But would you say that going into 2024, it's that has been heated up a little bit? The seat has gotten a little hotter. There's a lot more that not only needs to get done, but a lot more press to get things done, again, especially in an election year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because you throw in all the pressures of election year and everybody gearing up for the end of session, which usually comes late February, early March in a campaign year. So, I mean, our calendar's short. We've got a big election year, and we've also got the Supreme Court throwing unknowns at us left and right that we don't know how we're going to have to react, how much time we have to react. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. The big ticket items that we don't agree on, like the tax cuts we try to get the governor to sign, some of the other things that we just keep looking for agreement on, push the smaller, more important local stuff to the side sometimes. So every legislator right now, all 132, are looking for their local bills to get done while all of this big stuff that we've argued about for a year now this session is still hanging out there. So there is tons of pressure right now, and we're hitting this bottleneck that we always hit where the assembly gets a ton of bills through, and then the Senate, being a smaller chamber, has to deal with this mad rush of bills that are flooding across into their chamber, and hopefully we try to get them to understand they got to take them all up. But this bottleneck really occurs really right now in January, February, and the the best of the best of the best of the Phils are the only ones that rise to the top at this point.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug, and we didn't have a chance to touch base last month, so I do want to rewind a little bit and go into some of that with you. But we'll start with the RV dealer bill and start there, and I wanted to let people know what that is, Scott.
Yeah, basically the RV dealer bill came from a local issue here where you have a local business owner looking to transfer his business to a family member, and the manufacturers that he works with kind of holding that process up because of, arbitrary agreements that manufacturers can control over dealers on licensing and products they sell. And so this bill basically just is a big, long laundry list of agreements between manufacturers and dealers on how franchising should go, on how dealer issues should be taken care of, how product lines should be transferred over. It just sets some more standards in place that helps local business owners have some certainty that manufacturers can't play games with their livelihood as much as they're able to right now. So it's been a heavily negotiated bill between the manufacturers and the dealers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. We have gone to anybody and everybody in the industry, nationwide, statewide, just to make sure everybody's on board to codify all of this agreement so it's a lot more stable industry. And I think we're 90% done with this thing. So we're 6 years into this process, and we've got about three more conversations to go to get these bills out of the committees in the legislature and onto the floor of the State Assembly and State Senate.
One of the reasons I know I personally like talking with you, and I know our listeners do from talking to them, you usually give us a little bit of how the sausage is made. And you mentioned that 6 years to make this happen. I don't think we think about that very often. I think a lot of people might think that a bill, the idea comes, you try to get it up the flagpole, it doesn't go, you move on to a new bill. There's certain things, and especially for somebody like you, Scott, where you're not letting this one go. You're going to make this happen no matter what it takes, even if it takes 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's the same exact thing with the Firefighters Memorial Bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, these local things that other legislators have no idea about because it doesn't affect their district, but we expect them to vote for it. So it takes a lot of time to, educate every other legislator, or at least the majority of the legislative chambers, to say, okay, that's a good idea. Sometimes people think legislators take an idea to Madison, write a bill, it goes right to the floor to get a vote because everybody likes them and trusts them, but that's not how it works. I mean, there is a massive amount of work behind even just putting a bill together, letting alone getting it through the process. And then after 2 years where it doesn't, make it, to go back to the drawing board, find the things that didn't work, talk to the stakeholders who didn't like it, figure out what it could take to get them to be happy with it and get the other legislators back on board with it. I mean, so it is a massive amount of work just to get a smaller, I call it, bill done, because there's more education that has to be done with these smaller size bills.
You mentioned the Wisconsin Rapids Firefighters Memorial Funding Bill. That's one that's certainly close to home for us around here. I can look over from our studio and see the memorial. It's where I start with all my walks. It's an important part of our community. How is that one going?
That one's got a little more of a struggle because we're in this tax argument in the state of Wisconsin right now on how we deal with taxes, and all of the big ticket items surrounding that make it harder for these other bills that deal with taxation to get to the top of the realm. So I think our biggest challenge right now with the Firefighters Memorial Bill is, again, we're not letting this go, because when Tommy Thompson was governor and put the memorial here in Wisconsin Rapids, he promised the state would take care of it into perpetuity. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to fulfill that promise by getting this back onto the tax form, where you can make a donation via your tax form, like 10 other items on there, endangered species, cancer research, some other things like that. So we're looking to put a voluntary donation line on a tax form for people to be able to donate to the memorial to help for maintenance costs. So we've tried it a few sessions. There's been some challenges to it because this used to have a line on the tax form, but it didn't generate a lot of money. So most other items on there, if they don't generate a certain amount, they get taken off. That's what happened to this. Putting it back on this way is getting to be a bigger and bigger challenge because of all of the bigger conversations we're having with taxation. So if it comes down to it, next session, we're probably just going to go right into the state budget and fund it directly instead of making it a voluntary checkoff on your tax form. So we're staying on it. We just got to find the right way that's going to be acceptable in the right environment for people to vote for.
Interesting to hear with this one, too, and when this happens with bills, that there is a plan B, a plan C, that kind of thing. I think that's just as interesting as some of these other things, especially with something like this that, again, hits so close to home.
Yeah, I mean, the path of least resistance is to restore what it used to be. But, you know, the harder path would be to directly fund it in the state budget. So that's going to be an even harder challenge to get done, depending, of course, on, you know, what the political fires look like when it comes to budget time next session. So I'd rather much get this bill done, let people do a voluntary checkoff so there's no mandate for the taxpayers to have to pay for it if they don't want to. I think that's more palatable for legislators to vote for. So we're in the Ways and Means Committee in the Assembly to argue and fight through that one. So we're not as close on that as we are in the RV bill, though.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep up on that one, and we'll let people know how that's progressing. I was really looking forward to getting into this with you, and I'm glad we have the time. The Harvest for Hope initiative, can we tell people what that is?
Yeah, so this is another one. We have worked on this one for just as many years. So I've always looked at my district, you know, from a 30,000-foot perspective to see what things I can match up. So in my district, I represent Adams County and Washera County. Adams County is the third poorest by income in the state of Wisconsin. But next door in Washera and a little into Portage County that I also represent are the third highest food producing, you know, counties in the state of Wisconsin too. And we've got food insecurity issues throughout my district in the state of Wisconsin. And we've got food surpluses from excess, you know, vegetables grown in our fields that just end up sitting on the fields to rot because processors just can't take as much as we can grow. So the thought is to marry these two things and say, okay, if we've got extra vegetables that could be processed, is there a way that we can get them to processing, get them back into food banks and food shelters and food pantries? So that was initially how the bill was, you know, set up, was to find a way to help pay for processing these vegetables. We took a different tack this session and just said, you know what, we're going to let this go a different way since we haven't had much success with it. And this bill, this session says there's a ban on county governments funding the ability for food banks to purchase and stock up on food. So right now, a county government couldn't even allocate money to a food pantry to help them fill their shelves. So while we're trying to figure out the processing of food products, we're going to say in this bill, in this version, county government, since you would like to have more local control on these issues, we're going to give you the ability to help your local food pantry with county tax dollars to start building up their shelves and ability to buy products from farmers. So in turn, that ability for the county to give the money to the pantry can buy the product from the farmer can afford to go process more. So there's, you know, this being the third session of this bill, that's what the plan B was. And the plan B is actually working better than the plan A. So I think we're wide bipartisan support on this, where the counties feel like this is something they'd like to deal with, than the state having to take care of it. So I think this one's going to be the quickest of the three we talked about in getting done.
This was the one that you, last month, you talked to the Committee on Local Government regarding. Is this the one that you were testifying about?
Yeah, that's what I testified to. Yeah.
And how did that go?
It was great. I mean, I've even seen a few spots where some Democrats in that committee have gone on their local television stations talking about how great an idea this is of theirs, or how great an idea it is of the committee to take this up and how it would help their counties. And these are people from Dane County and Milwaukee County and Brown County who think that the bill that was generated to help Adams County would actually help them too. So I think there's a lot of wide bipartisan support for this idea.
And it feels like one of those ones, especially on the surface, you don't have to do a lot of digging on it. It feels like it benefits everybody, and especially some major factors in our state, our ag industry, our certainly a population that is in need, that is growing, and people in need of food. It seems like a win-win in many ways.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it just comes down to some had an issue with government paying to process food products in the original version, whereas some now would see the county government taking over the role that the state legislators may not be the best geared for to make decisions locally and how to spend the money to help build up the pantry's stock.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that taking it down a level out of the state hands and giving it to the county has brought a little bit more support for us.
Scott, as we're getting into our last couple of minutes here, I did want to take a moment to talk about the Town of Rome solar project. I don't think we've gotten a chance to touch on that for a while. How is that going?
Yeah, I am a hard no. I love solar. I have my community solar bill that we're going to have a hearing on next session where I think everybody individually should be able to make the decisions that these mega utility farms are able to make. Right now, they get to operate outside of local zoning and just go to the PSC and say, okay, little town, I don't care what your zoning is. We're just going to do what we want because PSC is going to let us do it. I think that is absolutely ridiculous the way we do this. So I'm not against solar. I'm against the idea that you can go against local zoning and just put these 3,000-acre projects in the middle of wherever you want. But on the backside of it, if I wanted to put in a 5-acre project in the back 20 that I might own, I'm not allowed to. Mm-hmm. I just think the rules are just absolutely ridiculous in how these are put together, processed, allowed to happen for mega companies, but just not for the little guy. So that's what we're fighting this fight for. In Rome, and 99% of the time when a project gets to the PSC, it gets approved, but I'm still going to make a hell of a lot of noise on this one because I just don't think it's right that utilities can do this process where a local landowner can't do the same process.
And it we're not the only state or county for that matter that is struggling with this work of we want to integrate more solar power, more other energy resources, but how we do it and the process that we do it with, I think it has some pushback. Not just and I think the thing that gets clouded in all of this is it's something that you've hit on a couple of times, and I appreciate it's not about solar power. It's not about that. That is not something you have an issue with. It's the way that this is going about, the way that they're handling this. I think that is a key part of the conversation that seems to get lost in the shuffle a little bit of this when it comes to anybody really talking about it. Not so much when we're able to talk like this, but on the masses when you're reading on these articles and that. And sometimes the way that some of these things can get kind of shortened and a full conversation isn't had.
Well, and that's the other side of it, too, is that there are some people out there who absolutely hate solar who see me fighting for solar in a different way and say, well, why are you fighting for solar? Well, here's the deal, people. And, sometimes when you lose an issue, you just have to deal with it. And I'm not stupid enough to know that solar isn't here to stay. So why not just figure out a way to make it fair to be used equally amongst the individual and the corporation that are in charge of it? There are so many projects right now between wind and solar and Adams and Wood and Portage and Wachera right now. People are up in arms and hating the idea of the generation of the power. Well, that's not what this is all about. This is about just making sure it's done right, because Wisconsin right now is a net importer of energy. We buy our energy from other states right now. We shouldn't have to do that. So I'm not saying I'm necessarily in favor or against wind or solar or anything else. I just want to say if Alliant Energy can do it, why can't Joe Schmo?
Mm-hmm. Scott, the Los Angeles Dodgers just signed every free agent we want. This is breaking news. They did.
Yeah,
I don't know how that's going to go. What did you think of that Ohtani deal when you saw the numbers of that and the him being able to kind of like they worked it out where they're paying him in 10 years and that whole thing?
I can't believe how bad an accountant and lawyer this guy has.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The first thing is like, okay, there's no interest on this. Just maybe it's because I've been in government too long that I know that the value of his dollar today is not going to be the value of his dollar in 10 years from now. So he's basically making next to nothing in 10 years because of inflation. So, I'm just like, dude, just take 2% interest. You're set forever.
It's not our money, right? It should be interesting. I am looking forward to baseball, and I just wanted to mention baseball with you, especially in the heart of winter here. So,
yeah, we are more. Maybe on Facebook or something that we are past the base or the baseball solstice has happened, but we are closer to the start than we are away from the end. So.
Feels good. Brewers, Rafters right around the corner. And talking with you again right around the corner as well. We always appreciate the time, Scott. Thank you. Good week to you and yours. We'll talk again next month.
Absolutely. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Scott, Representative Scott Crew joining us. He'll be with us next month. Looking forward to that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more Midday Magazine at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he has no plans to change state government's diversity practices. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss plans to order a year-long audit of state agencies' diversity policies. The Democratic governor tells the State Journal that Voss is free to do that, but that no changes will be made. 41 Milwaukee public schools are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. It provides a better atmosphere for play and for learning.
Behavioral referrals go down, injuries go down, and kids are more productive in their play.
That's Lisa Neeb. She's with ReFlow, the nonprofit that's helping with the project. She says natural playgrounds also are more comfortable on hot days. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you have an exotic pet that you are no longer able to take care of, you can surrender it this month in Portage County. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Portage County is holding an exotic pet surrender event on Saturday, January 27th from noon to 3 p.m. at Schmeekly Reserve. They'll be accepting the surrender of exotic pets including fish, plants, corals, inverts, small mammals, birds, and reptiles. You can contact John Moyles at JNR Aquatic Animal Rescue for more information. The Southwood and Adams County's United Way Thank You and Recognition Celebration will be on January 10th at the Bullseye Golf Club in Wisconsin Rapids. Appetizers and a cash bar start at 4:30 and the program begins at 5. They want everyone who has supported them in 2023 to attend. Be sure to mark your calendars for January 10th at Bullseye Golf Club to celebrate with the United Way. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. You know, two of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL, Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields. And what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans of the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay is playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Cloudy and calm today. All ahead of a few shots of some snow headed our way. First chance pushes in later tonight as spotty snow showers that ramp up through the overnight hours and look to linger into tomorrow afternoon. A half an inch of snow is likely, with some areas seeing up to 2 inches. Right now, 33 degrees.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Progressive presents Precious Moments.
Yeah, I caught my first fish, Dad!
Great job, buddy. He's a beauty.
Thanks for taking me fishing. Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
The exchange you just heard didn't actually happen, but it could. Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive, and you could use the savings to make sure the boat's always ready for those magical father-son moments. Who knows, maybe someday he'll actually like fishing. So keep the dream alive and the savings coming with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this January 5th, 2024. And you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here at 3:30. We're welcoming into the studio Dan Volert, Maintenance Program Supervisor, Snowmobile and ATV Coordinator with Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. Dan, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a while since we've gotten to talk to you guys. Appreciate you being here and being in studio. And a good time of the year to bring you in, it feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like normally, most of the time. We're going to talk snowmobiles. We're going to talk ATVs. But I want to start with you, if you don't mind, with snowmobiling.
Yes.
And this time of year, how is it going with that? I know that we're waiting for Mother Nature to give us some snow here, but other than that, how are things going with that that category?
It's going well, other than our snow. All our clubs got their trails signed, and they're ready to go. We're getting in the last few bits of paperwork. In Wood County has roughly 277 to 78 miles of snowmobile trail that's located throughout, spread out through the whole county. We have 7 clubs. And I'm just going to list a few of them here.
Yeah.
We have the Auburndale Night Owls, which typically take care of the Auburndale, south to Arpen, up north to Marathon County, up through the Mead Wildlife Refuge, that type of stuff. Bakerville Snow Rovers is Marshall area over to Hewitt. They meet Auburndale in the northwest corner of the county. They come down and meet the Yellow River Riders, who is the southwest corner of Wood County. Run the Yellow River corridor through Pittsville down to Dexter, Babcock, and then they go west into Jackson County.
Mm-hmm.
Bakerville also does go into Clark County and Marathon on the north end. In the center part of the county, we have the Vesper Snow Drifters. They're kind of Vesper area over to Arpen. They meet up with Rudolph's Trails, and they go south down to Sunset Drifters, mm-hmm. who is kind of the south end of the county,
yeah.
Wood County, and they go into Juneau. Most of their trails are in Juneau County. And then we got Rudolph kind of stuck in the middle east of Vesper. They're a smaller club with, mm-hmm. but they're really building traction. They're kind of the club that's real eager. They're trying to get some new miles established. We're working on that. And they go over to the Wisconsin River where you get on the other side, and then you got the Kellner Knights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole other thing. They go into Portage County. They got a big club over there, and a lot of their trails go into Portage County as well.
Hmm.
They're all part of what they call AWSC, Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. We all meet every first Monday of the month between September 1st and April 1st, typically. Usually the club presidents are all there. We discuss certain things, you know, signage and the work going mm-hmm. on and needs and wants and what they need from me and what I need from them. Wood County is actually very fortunate because the president of AWSC is Lori Heidemann, who worked 30-plus years for dispatch.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's a wealth of knowledge for mm-hmm. Snowmobiling in general.
You got a great person right there,
yes.
Matt. Yeah, yeah,
real
good
resource.
I don't know
if you've had her in here before, but she's kind of spent a lot of her life doing it, and she's about as diehard as they come.
Yeah.
She goes to state things, national things, and I think she even goes international with snowmobiling. She's a big promoter of the sport, and she's a great advocate for the sport. She really does a good job. We also have Wood County Director of AWSC's Mike Hertzberg with the Yellow River Riders. He's really big into getting things set up just within the county itself mm-hmm. with all the coordinators. And then Margie Straka is treasurer. She's also a representative for the AWSC here in the county. She's right in the middle of Vesper. She does a lot of fundraising and just different things going around with sponsors, with brochure making. Her and Dave, Dave's the president of the Vesper Snowdrifters. Mm-hmm. He's also the president of the Central Wisconsin ATV Riders, which we can talk about later. But they do a lot of volunteer work in the center of the county here and to advocate for snowmobiling and ATV.
You know, Dan, especially, you know, those of us that have lived here for a long time, or grew up out here with snowmobiling, we with some of these things, I think the terms or the knowledge of it, we just assume is common. To those out there listening that don't know what it takes, what these clubs do maintaining these trails, what does it take to maintain these trails?
Okay, yes. Each club, and they all have different miles that they take care of. Snowmobile map, it's available online. You can pick brochures up at different businesses. They typically like to have donations because it goes back to the club to help with maintenance items. They do a lot of brushing, tree cutting, anything you can think of in a trail. Bridge maintenance, because there's bridges out there. I mean, the clubs, they're the guys that do the maintenance. They sign a contract with the county. They hold insurance liability in case any of their workers get hurt on each of their sections. They do a lot of work, and it's volunteer work. I mean, we just can't assume these trails. There's 277 miles of trails. These guys are out there September, October, November, December getting trails set up. They also tear down. They mow in the summers. There's a lot of work involved.
Yeah.
You know, and they're very, very devoted. You know, they love it.
It's nice, too, because we don't always get this inside kind of look on this stuff and knowledge of it. And I like to bring the I'm kind of going somewhere with this, too, where every month we have Sheriff Becker join us. And Sean and I, one of the things, especially this time of year, we talk about is reminding people, hey, be mindful of these trails. Yep. Some of them go on public property. Some of them go, some people give some of their land for it and everything. And we got to be really smart about that. We don't want to lose these spots. This is a privilege, not a birthright kind of thing.
Exactly. And we, when we attend these AWSC meetings, usually Officer Matt Souza, he's kind of a recreational sergeant in the area. He's the one that patrols on a snowmobile and ATV, UTVs. He's involved with this. He also helps with training kids to get licensed.
Cool.
They set that up, and I believe his next one will be in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
From talking to him earlier, a lot of the funding for this type of stuff comes through the DNR maintenance grants that I apply for. There's a program that the DNR uses called SNARS, and I don't know exactly what the acronym sounds.
You knew I was going there, though.
Yes, exactly. And I would break that down, but basically all the clubs, they always have somebody devoted to SNARS. They put all their maintenance entries in with the equipment they use, and the DNR refunds that, or they get reimbursed for that work up to a certain mile. We got 277 miles of trail in the county, roughly. Changes from year to year a little bit. But they get $300 a mile from the state for maintenance costs. That doesn't cover all the costs that the clubs put in sometimes. Sometimes you got storms that knock, you know, trees down. There's a lot more brushing and stuff. Sometimes swamps don't freeze down. There's just a lot of work that comes and goes. But that $300 is there that it comes through me. I allocate it depending on the need, what each club put in.
Mm-hmm.
Each club's has the ability to get that $300 per mile of their trail. If there's some left over at the end, I can allocate it where needed if some clubs spend more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a given amount. If we do get a lot of snow, which I don't know, it doesn't look like it right
now.
Yeah,
right now, yeah.
But we do get into another cost thing that the state dictates called supplemental funding.
Mm.
And they usually only okay that. They got another account set aside in the event we get a lot of snow. There's a lot of grooming costs.
Mm-hmm.
Each groomer goes out, they have a GPS in it that basically logs, it basically pings every so often as they're actually running, not just idling, but moving. And that kind of sets the miles per trail, you know, and the DNR follows that. I can follow that in the office. It's kind of a neat outfit because that way they get funded for the miles they're taking care of and grooming, and it kind of makes everybody's, you know, it kind of keeps checks and balances.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's some accountability there,
yes,
too.
Exactly, because some clubs, obviously, they could let it run longer and idle, but if it idles, it changes and it senses that. So it's been good
for really interesting
couple of years that I've been involved with it anyway, and I think people are starting to get used to it, you know, so.
Well, with the importance of this, certainly it's fun, we enjoy it and everything, but we also understand that this is a big resource for bringing people into the community, yes, bringing tourists in town, spending those dollars here, the economic impact that snowmobiling has. Yes. There's a lot of factors there, too, with that, so it's important to be able to have that data.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it not only brings money in for our businesses, you know, into our county, you know, just it helps us keep maintaining the trails. You know, it's kind of good for everybody. You know,
it's a win-win.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of our clubs, too, you know, they get that $300 a mile maintenance fee, but a lot of them hold these other fundraisers. I really wanted to mention the ARPANEX 2024. It's a vintage snowcross race that's held in the center of Wood County. It's kind of a center hub between Bakerville, Auburndale, and Vespers clubs. It's 20 years and older sleds, and they got different classes they run. I've been there myself. It's very enjoyable. I hope they get snow for it. Yeah. That's actually on Saturday, February 3rd at 9 a.m. that starts. They usually got, you know, brats, sodas, you know, food. They got chili, beer, obviously.
Do they have a Facebook page or anything we can send people to find out more about it?
The Urban Lions is the head. Probably one to contact for that.
Sure.
But like I said, Bakerville, Vesper, and Auburndale are all part of that. Roselleville Club, not in Wood County, but from Marathon, they help out with that as well.
Okay.
They usually got a lot of the groomers on hand so people can see them. You know, you got all these snowmobiles. It's a really neat event. They put a lot of work into it. Kellner Knights, they run the radar run every year by Anchor Bay. That's February 10th. They're actually calling it Winterfest this year.
Nice.
They're going to have live music, and obviously there's food out there. They have a cash raffle that's going on right now. They have some going on during Winterfest. You can look on their Facebook websites and get more information. Rudolph River Rovers are running something similar. They all run polka runs different times of the year to get fundraisers, to get people in and out of the businesses. A lot of what the clubs do is volunteer. It isn't just for snowmobiling, because it gets them and members into these businesses,
yes,
you know what I mean, and keeping the economy going, not just during snowmobile season, but other times as well.
I think that's such a strong point about this. And every year we see these events, or we talk about them on the air here or anything. It's one of the biggest things that stands out to me is they could be just focusing on the snowmobiling or raising funds for their clubs, and they'd use these opportunities to not just do that, but to help out these local businesses. And anything that supports local, we are always going to be behind something like that.
Yeah. When the trails are going, you definitely know they're going. You hear snowmobiles. I mean, up north, you see them all over. But when it's going in Wood County, there ain't nothing to see them at the local cafes, the local bar eateries, you know, gas stations. I mean, it just gets people in. You know, it's and I did want to mention, we do have snowmobile maps online on the Wood County Parks and Forestry website. They are available in brochures. There's also apps that a lot of the newer, technically advanced riders have that they plug their phone right into that gets them going as well. That's really gotten traction the next couple of years.
Yeah. Diving into the way a lot of the tech has influenced snowmobiling and a lot of that is really interesting. Yeah. It's crazy how all that's come by.
It looks like a video game.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Somebody's tracks, you know, and they look like jacked up machines from the space, you know, outer space. It's really quite a deal. I did want to mention too, Bakerville, they also do golf outings that they got Father's Day weekend for their club. I just love to mention there's opportunities, you know, to get involved with clubs.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that wants to know how it works, there's a club in your area in Wood County, you know, and they're always looking for volunteers to help, you know.
I wanted to make sure we had time to talk about that, Dan. Certainly, and we're speaking with Dan Voller from Wood County Parks and Forestry Department, mentioning volunteering, and that's always important, no matter who's really with us, we're going to bring up volunteering. But one of the things that I know, talking to some of my friends about that are into snowmobiling, really enjoy the sport, wanting to get their kids involved in it, wanting to get younger people, more and more younger people involved in this to keep the sport alive, to help these these, maybe members of these clubs, or just in general, the act of snowmobiling and the sport of it. From your perspective, are you seeing younger people getting involved in it more? Are you seeing some of that? Or
there's always younger kids. I know they're trying to get involved with the clubs. Mm-hmm. They'll reduce the membership, or waive it to get young people involved.
Yeah.
Somebody short, it's easier to pick brush up when you're doing trails.
And
they get to ride their little kitty cats around.
Matt
Souza, that I mentioned earlier, he does a good job with training kids, if people are looking to get into that. He does ATVs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a joint class.
It
gets kids started early, and gets them out and interacting with people. That's always a good thing,
So it's, you get them young, you spark something in them young, and it's something that the rest of their lives they end up doing.
Exactly. And clubs, they lose members every year. And you like to gain them, And there's, I wanted to mention, there's 600 clubs, plus in the state.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're all kind of organized similar to Wood County. They're all a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
But. Basically, that's kind of how the state has it set up. The county kind of coordinates it. The clubs do their each individual piece, and it's working, and it has worked for a long time.
Yeah.
Different things change. There's different legislation that changes and stuff, and, Lori's part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Heidemann, again, she's advocating for different changes, and it's been advocated to get this $300 a mile change to help the clubs out more.
Yeah.
But I did want to mention that snowmobiling trails itself is self-funded through snowmobile registration,
mm-hmm.
Residential and out-of-state trail passes, and the gas tax multiplier. All that money is allocated through the DNR in a fund, and then we request that each county for each of their clubs to help with maintenance, But there again, it doesn't always cover all the costs.
Yeah,
And these clubs are all trying to make it nice. That's why they have all these fundraisers, mm-hmm. That I was speaking of. Sometimes they're involved with parades. They have whole bingos. There's just a lot of different things they tried. There's actually, January 10th, the Rudolph River Rovers are actually holding a fundraiser at Papa Murphy's Pizza.
Hmm.
50% of any proceeds go to the Rudolph River Rover Club.
Ooh.
That's just another small example. They have gun raffles, sportsmen's banquets. There's all kinds of different fundraisers these clubs are doing.
Especially this time of year. Keep an eye out for those. And while we're broadcasting and focused on Central Wisconsin here, of course, we're able to be heard throughout the whole state.
Yep.
You mentioned how many clubs there are. Wherever you're listening to us, chances are there's a snowmobile club near you. Find out how you could be involved with them.
Yep.
And to people who aren't that into snowmobiling, you could still be a part of these things and still be a great help, and you might even spark something in yourself to get more involved in snowmobiling and this and the fun of that.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, I do want to take some time talking a little ATV with you. But what do you got?
I did want to mention, and this is just something that I should mention for snowmobiling.
Mm-hmm.
Wood County Snowmobile Alliance and landowners assume no liability as to the trails, machines, or individuals. We always respect private, no trespassing signs, and we just obey the state and local ordinances. The trails are only for snowmobiles, not ATVs. We want to be respectful of the landowners. It's hard to get permission, easements to go on people's land. We don't want to ruin that. That's the privilege. And please stay on the trails. They're marked clearly. The guys do a great job of it. So I guess, have fun when you do that, but always stay on the trails. I really wanted to get that point across, because that's how we keep our trails going.
Be respectful. And certainly when you're able to do that, we're able to keep these trails. We're able to keep this going for not just us, but for future generations.
And a lot of the clubs will give back to their landowners, too. Give packs. Yeah. I know different things that they've done. They usually have like owner appreciation night where they...
That's really cool.
They give back to whatever, if it's Auburndale, they'll have it at the local establishment there. They invite the landowners down, have a beer and barbecue and...
Yeah.
Different things like that that they give back. That's kind of in the way it should be. The landowners pays taxes on it. People are using his land. It's the way it should be.
Yeah, it's a really cool mutual agreement, gentleman's agreement, if you will, kind of thing. But it comes with respect. You've got to respect the land, respect the property, and then everybody has a good time.
Yep.
Where do you want to go next? What do you got there, Dan?
ATVs?
Yeah, let's talk a little ATVs as we're getting close to wrapping up here.
Yeah, well, ATV, UTV use has been really ramping up in our county lately. Everybody for a long time was trying to get a lot of trails and roads open. I just wanted to specify there is a difference between trails and routes in Wood County.
Yes.
Trails are typically what us Park and Forestry Department run through our county forest. We have our ATV intensive use area. That's where you want to go if you want to do some mudding and you want to just go over hops and rough riding. I found, because I got a lot of family members that ATV and UTV ride, friends, family, a lot of them just want to cruise. You know, they want a nice country road to cruise on. They don't want the dust and the mud and the dirt. And a lot of our rural areas are open now. Most of Wood County is open now, other than the township of Cranmore. It's mostly cranberry marsh. There ain't a lot of roads there.
Yeah.
And what there is state roads. Marshfield has been opening more of their town or city, I should call it, so you can get access in and out. Obviously, there's a lot of traffic areas there and safety concerns. But it's kind of an ongoing map that's going on all the time because they're slowly changing ordinances to allow it. Wisconsin Rapids is allowing it in some places, but there's great debate over that, you know, with County Highway Commissioner and city officials. You know, it's kind of a what they agree on. And once that gets agreed upon, typically send us the ordinance.
Okay.
We post that. Each township, village has their own ordinances with ATV. Yeah. It's a little bit different snowmobile in that every town's different. Usually everything's marked. Either you can ride most of the streets, or on your main county highways or state highways, you'll see the big red ATV circle with the slash through it. They're marked very clearly. Our whole county, I know the sign guy personally does a great job getting that signage out when things open and enclosed, you know, depending on what's going on. But it's usually up to each individual governing body to...
For locally here, Dan, when it comes to the, because as you mentioned, this is a conversation that's going to keep happening and growing as this grows itself, and then counties, cities are adapting to it. When it comes to the ideas of that and how to grow it, do they reach out to you guys? Do they look for feedback from you and from your team?
We get occasional phone calls. You know, people wanting to know if they got access to this or this business or if they can go down this road. We try to go to that local township and figure it out. I'll ask the question, is that open? And then if it is, if it ain't legible on our map, we fix it. You know, it's there's kind of an ongoing thing. We got a couple different groups here again. WATVA, which is a Wisconsin ATV UTV Association. We're kind of a member of that. They give us a lot of information and stuff in the area. We also have the Central Wisconsin ATV Club. That was kind of originally made with Pittsville when they originally started the push. I think Jeff Masvall kind of, he was the mayor of Pittsville back in the day, kind of originally got this going. And I, like I said, Dave Straka is the president of it now, but they've been kind of continually getting this ATV thing going.
Yeah.
And now it's, most of the county's open. It's, I mean, you're always going to have your bumps in the road with things, you know, people ruin it for others, you know, type of thing. But for the most part, I think it's been received pretty well. A lot of people are under the impression that you're going to see these loud, obnoxious machines going by 10 at a time, and it really ain't.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in the village of Esper myself. I see a few a day. It's usually mom and pop going down for coffee or for breakfast or just, you know, your maintenance guy in the village checking things.
Yeah.
You know, it's farmers, you know, going to check their fields or their cows. You know, it's, you get a few people riding, but they're usually not.
Well, these things are always, as we're learning, just by even in the times right now in the conversation, these things are always adaptable. We try one thing, and if it isn't working, we can adapt and re-tinker with it and everything. So it's great to hear that there's a conversation going on with all groups and the feedback is there.
It's an ongoing thing, and it probably will be for the next few years. Everything changes, you know. So,
Dan, it's been great talking with you. I want to remind people that we're always looking for volunteers for these clubs, snowmobile clubs, any of these clubs, and really anything going on with our Parks and Forestry Department. Encourage people to reach out and find out more about that. You can do that at the website woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. And, Dan, if people have follow-up questions, want to talk to you specifically, how can they reach you?
Yeah, well, they can reach out, I mean, via email. They can call the Wood County Parks office. They usually set me right away.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Special Report.